Our study tonight is out of the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, overcoming the mishandling of material blessings. About 100 years after the Hebrew exiles had returned from Babylon and rebuilt Jerusalem and the temple, their initial enthusiasm had worn off, with life and worship becoming mere routines. God raised up Malachi to call the people to repentance from spiritual apathy. Malachi 3:7-12 addressed the issue of mishandling God's material blessings. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Malachi 3:7-12. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein or how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this entire nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay. God announced that Israel had gone astray from his ordinances since the days of their fathers, so he urged Malachi's generation in Israel to return to him, that he might return to them with blessing. Israel responded to the Lord by claiming that she was ignorant of her waywardness, so as to ask God how she was to return to him. God replied that they had robbed him, and the people of Israel questioned how they had robbed him. The Lord answered that they had robbed him in their tithes and offerings. So God had cursed them. This curse is revealed in Malachi 3:11 as a famine due to locusts eating the vegetation, and their vines were not producing the grapes. The grapes are actually falling off the vines before they reach maturity so that you couldn't get a crop. Now, the tithes and offerings to which God referred were specifically required under the law. We don't have required tithes in the church era today or offerings, but we're going to get to an application of it. But these were specifically required by the law. First of all, the people of Israel were to tithe. That is, they were to give a tenth of all the produce and the livestock which they had possessed, according to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 and 32. Now, this tithe was to be given to the Levites, who in turn were to give a tenth of the tithe that they had received to the priests for their livelihood needs. See, the Levites were an entire tribe, and the priests were a select group within the tribe. So the priests, who were busy at the temple site all the time or actively involved in leading the worship, probably had less time on their hands even than the Levites. So the Levites were supposed to tithe of their goods for the priests. Then the people of Israel were also supposed to bring a tenth of their produce, crops, and animals and eat them with the Levites before the Lord in Jerusalem as an act of festal worship. I think this is also designed to keep the Levites plugged in to the regular tribes so that they felt very comfortable with them. They were supposed to celebrate with the Levites. And then, in addition, every third year, a tenth of Israel's agricultural production was to be stored up in the towns throughout Israel for the Levites, the foreigners, the widows, and the orphans. These are people groups who were vulnerable to material shortages or loneliness due to social seclusion. So to overcome the social seclusion, overcome this dire poverty, every third year, people were supposed to meet together with these foreigners, with the widows, and with the orphans. They were supposed to fellowship with them. When we were flying from Cairo, Egypt, over to Israel back in 1963 on our way home to the States, we were flying with a whole bunch of Israelis had gone to the University of Cairo, and they were returning home. And they could tell by the cuffs on our pants, because their cuffs were turned up. We were Americans, because Americans are the only ones that wore cuffs at the time. And they knew we were Americans, and every one of them were trying to invite us to their home, because in the law, you're supposed to treat the foreigners well. And, I mean, we could have gone to any one of these Israeli farms, homes, and they were very open, very welcoming, very genuine people. But this is something that they were supposed to do. They were supposed to share their bounty every third year with these needy people. Then the word offerings may refer to offerings in general, but it seems to refer here, Malachi 3:8, to those portions of the offerings, as well as those portions of the tithes that were designated for the priests. So these tithes, and then the offerings that the Levites were supposed to give to the priests, these were all required by the law. Now, if the Levites and priests would not receive the tithes and the offerings, they would have to seek other means to support themselves, causing the temple ministry to suffer. To some degree, this occurs in churches where if the people don't or can't afford to pay the pastor enough, he has to take a job on the side. And of course, if he takes a job on the side, that distracts from the study time and pastoral ministries, and it's a shortage on the church. When we were planting churches, we were always taught that you start with 10 families, because the idea is if 10 people, 10 families are giving 10% of their income, that's going to make up the 100% of the income for the pastor, so he can live at the same social and cultural level as the other people in the church. But anyway, this is a problem that they had in those days. So God then called the people to bring all the tithes they were required of the Lord to give and put them in the storehouse of the temple that held grain, brought in payment of tithes for the priests, that if they did this, he would figuratively open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing in agricultural production that was so great they would not be able to handle it all. I remember being in Nebraska and seeing and one year they had a huge bounty of corn, and the silos were filled. They had to dump them on the ground. Of course, they chose it on a cement place, but they couldn't store them. In the silos, absolutely jam-packed. And so that's the type of thing that God was talking about here. Well, in addition, the Lord would stop the loss of Israel's agricultural production to pests and fruitlessness, and the Gentile nations would call them blessed, as Israel would then be respected by the Gentile world. Of course, that condition is going to occur in the millennial kingdom, when Israel will be a blessing to the world, and crop production worldwide will be huge. In fact, on the tops of mountains, you're going to have grapes growing, which is so unusual. But it's going to be very fertile, and people will tie a donkey to a grapevine, and the donkey will go ahead and eat the vine and the grapes, and nobody will care because they have so many grapes. Nowadays, you wouldn't do that. You'd lose a lot of grapes, because donkeys can, poof, they can go through a lot of stuff. But anyway, God charged the people of Israel with robbing him of his required tithes and offerings, noting that he had thus put a curse on their agricultural production. However, they were to bring all of the required tithes to the Lord, he would abundantly bless their agricultural production and make them respected by Gentile nations. Now, since the Mosaic Covenant's requirements of tithes and offerings is no longer in force, or are no longer in force in the dispensation of the church, we do not apply God's directives on them. Ephesians 2:14 and 15, Romans 10:4, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, all indicate that we're not under the law. However, scriptures directed to the church do speak of God's blessing on those who give generously to the needs of the church, especially to those who labor in the word. Acts 4:31 to 35, 2 Corinthians 9:6 to 12, Galatians 6:6, Philippians 4:14 through 19. Also, God calls us to use our financial resources as heads of households to provide materially for the dependents in our homes. 1 Timothy 5:8. In fact, if a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's seen as worse than an unbeliever, because unbelievers at least take care of their own. And for parents to save up for their children. That's an interesting phrase that Paul brings out in 2 Corinthians 12:14, where he says the children are not responsible to save up for the parents. The parents are responsible to save up for the children. Then, number five, the church should also be prepared financially to support needy, elderly, godly widows with long-term ministry records who have no family available to support them, 1 Timothy 5:9-10. I think we can also apply this if we if there's a widow who is in a special need because of extenuating circumstances, and they've had this long-term record, there is a responsibility to help there. On the other hand, local church leaders should not pressure people in the pew to give if we seek to obey 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7 and 1 Peter 5, 1-3. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, it says every man should give as he purposes in his own heart, not of necessity, not of pressure, outside or guilty complex from inside. He needs to give as he determines in his own heart. Yet in the same vein, Paul says, remember, God will reward you according to the gift. So there's a negative situation. You don't want to pressure people to give, but God wants people to remember, the more you do give, the more I will bless. So there's a motivation, there's a pot of positive motivation. And 1 Peter 5, 1-3, we're not supposed to lord it over the flock. I've heard, and you've probably heard of all sorts of horror stories of pastors twisting the arms of people to give. I was in a church one time, and they took up the offering, and the minister looked at it. He didn't think it was enough. We've got to pass this again. So he passed it again to get some more. And they kept passing it until he thought there was enough there. That's not right. it's fleecing the flock of God. God doesn't want us to do that. So it's interesting. There are parameters that God provides for us. God seeks to motivate us to use our resources for his glory, but to do so as a cheerful giver, not of necessity nor of pressure. And may God help us to heed his word and to use our material blessings from him properly.